Okay, what I'm going to do first, we have five people sharing, and we're asking them to roughly take 10 minutes. but I'm just going to quickly go through the whole event and our time there, just to kind of give you an overview, and then everybody else will kind of fill in the blanks, okay? So actually, I could just do this from here. All right, here we go. This is Explosión de Amor, which means Love Explosion 2019. This was their their poster that they sent out. It's called a Generation de Hijos, which means basically young adults. And the scripture there is Romans 8:14. And Romans 8:14 says, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons or the hijos of God, meaning both men and women. So that was the theme for the weekend. As you come into the camp, you'll see this little area that has it's like a history booth of the 10 years. This was the 10th year of the event. And what they have here is they have their logos and pictures from each year. And these are a little close-ups, 2010, 11, 12, 13, 14. And then the next section was 15, 16, 17, 18. And the last one you're looking at yourself because you are here for the 2019. And what was really nice, they had a very well-done photo display of each of those events and what was taking place at the time. Also, right next there was something called Story Time. And each of these represents someone's testimony. And I believe, Robin, are you in the middle on the bottom with the heart? Is that yours? Okay, that was Robin's. And the one down the bottom left was a couple there that had lost a child. And believe it or not, I'm up at the top right. I look like a DJ. They kind of got me wrong, but I happen to do something to do with sound. And I'm not really sure. There was a gal there. There was a former nun. She shared her testimony. And I don't know what the other ones were about. But anyway, that was during the event that each of those were presented. And you got a little ticket if you wanted to go to it. And here are just some of the, what they call casitas, little houses. there was little over 800 registered people there. And this is just some of the worship, which was a big part of the whole event. And now I'm going to give you a little taste of this one here. I'm just going to pause it there. What was really neat about the girls that were, that were doing flags and things like that, they had probably have a team of maybe 12. There was quite a few of them. And they would have like two come in like this, and they would be doing the flags. They would walk out, and then like another four would walk in. They would do something totally different. And then they would finish. So they're always constantly rotating, so no one's getting exhausted, and it's always a different kind of sense of flavor. And it was just really beautiful, very beautiful. And we have some videos that we have for our girls here who like to dance here that we're hoping that they will catch on to some of that stuff. This is a view from the beach looking inward. And right there, the trees with the thing around it was an area where the children met. But that's also a place where I did two things. Wayne and I did a workshop on servant leadership. And that's also where I gave my testimony. This is another picture on the beach, probably after their Everybody was dismissed for something anyway. And there was prophetic art for every worship time. There was prophetic art going on. And there's more of that same painting there. These are some shrimp boats that really look cool, so I just figured I'd show them to you. This was a session that Vera and I were asked to join on a panel. This was a really neat workshop where there was 140 youth there, and they asked them to write kind of like serious questions. Anyway, this was really a cool way. The way they just asked people to write questions down that would be hard questions to ask. And so they got all the questions. They quickly went through them off to the side. They did a little skit. And then there was four of us on a panel. Vera, Joy's husband, Pancho, and who was the other brother? Neftali. We've known Neftali for quite a few years, and myself. Right. So anyway, they asked things about, dating. This was kind of a simple one, just dating unbelievers. They talked about suicide. They talked about pornography, just really heavy things that were on their hearts. And this questionnaire time probably went for about maybe an hour and a half. And then afterwards, it was a ministry time, and Vera had an opportunity to minister to some of the women there. So it was just a really powerful time there. And this is just another picture there. This is just another class. I have no idea what class it was, but just to give you a feel for the whole area there. And some of the classes go right into night. The sun sets and you're still doing a class. People are holding up cell phones and doing stuff. And this is the house of prayer. I can't believe this. This was a 24-hour tent where they were praying and worshiping God. And I'm going to give you a little taste of what it sounded like. Judah saying, is that me? All right, just to give you a little taste of that. And some more scenery, looking out at the ocean. This was after the Thursday night, was it? No, the Friday night storm. Thursday night storm. And these are just some night scenes of the worship place. And this is another one of the prophetic arts that was done. This is another piece of prophetic art that was being drawn. There's some people I know. This is a gal named Jenny, who Vera befriended on the trip a couple of years ago. This is another section. This is right in this front of the stage area. So this was the whole area where we congregated, and everybody was sitting under some covering because it's hot there, the sun is hot, and there was plenty of seats for everybody. And then when they went off to your little workshops, you picked up your seat, you walked with your seat to the place, you sat down there, and then your next place you picked up your seat and you moved around. This is from the stage looking out, and actually Wayne was instrumental in setting up a lot of these bamboo poles and things and roping them together. At the very end, they just prayed for everybody that was part of the leadership team and involved in Explosion de Amor for the past 10 years. And they also invited the four of us up. And so they basically just prayed for us all there. And at the end also, there was 10 people here that decided to get baptized. There's 10 here, and then we added on a couple. We added on this gal in the front here. What's her name again? Cynthia. She is from the church in San Juan de Abajo, where Pancho and Joy are. And then this other gentleman was just kind of watching, and he came up and asked to be baptized too. So it turned out to be 12 people went out in the ocean and they died and got resurrected. This is a kind of somber scene here. One of the testimonies that was given was about a couple who had their first child together, and they had found out after a couple of months that the baby was filled with cancer and died within, what, like 3 months, I think, after the birth. And so what they wanted to do, they invited a bunch of people down to this area when they were just going to spread the ashes. And I'll give you a little taste of that. But this was kind of a difficult place to go because it's just like this big excursion of lava that has been there. But it's really hard to walk on. But we finally made our way over there. And I'm going to give you just a little taste of it. The gal who's walking, that's the mother. And the gentleman behind her in black is the husband. And he's getting ready, the ashes ready to be distributed on the ocean. Okay, I won't play it any longer. It's he begins to share, she shares. There's a Jenny comes with a word from the scriptures. Anyway, it was just a beautiful moment where they were just making closure with their child. And it turned out that she was pregnant at this event. So that was really, really neat. And this is just another shot from above when everybody was done. And this is this gentleman next to me, we met on the national trip. He met this girl in one of the churches they passed through. And they wind up talking and texting. And like the week after they got off the trip, they got married. And they already have a baby. So So, anyway, why am I wearing a Yankees hat? Because that's actually Tyler's hat. I just brought the Yankee hat with me. There's other people down there with Yankee hats, just so you know. And this is some of the young folks that were hanging out with Danny. The guy in the middle, he's actually from Texas. He's the one who sponsored that trip for Danny to go on in Central America. The girl to the right, she's from Minnesota. She was on that trip. And there's a little face in the back there. His name is Judah Kellerhouse. He was, and they went over to this lovely little island where they just hung out together for the afternoon and just had some fun. This was after the whole Explosion de Amor. And then there's a little bug that someone took a picture of. I just figured I'd give that to you. Anybody know what that is? It's an upside-down bug. That's what it's called, upside-down bug. Who is? A long-horned wood borer? Really? Wow, thanks for that information, Gary. Okay, and the last thing. This is a cafeteria where it's back in San Juan de Abajo. A gentleman, Armando, he's like 20 or 21, and he opened up a business, and he's actually doing very well. And that was our last night there. We had kind of a party there. We're playing games, and then let me see here. See this little guy here? Do you see my little? All right, this gentleman here, he asked us. They prayed for us. We prayed for a family. And then he came up and said, would you guys pray for me? Because he was going into a rehab. and that is Cynthia, the one who got baptized. She got baptized. And these are her two sons. But he came up and asked. And so we just before we prayed, I began to ask him. I said, you know, have you ever asked Christ into your life for the forgiveness of your sins? And he affirmed that. He said, yes. And I said, did you ever get baptized? He said, no. And I said, oh. So we sat down. We had a good conversation, told him about the gospel, about being buried and resurrected. And I said, you want to be baptized tonight? And he said, yes. So after we left here, we drove down to a stream. And everybody's there with their cell phone lights on the stream. And we baptized this young man. And he did the coolest thing. It was totally unexpected. He got up from the water, and it was almost as if he looked like he was drunk because he couldn't stand because, you know, the soil there wasn't really firm. But anyway, he's just standing there in the water, just I'm assuming he's just enjoying the water running over his feet. But then what he does, he bends back down, face down into the water, and just allowed his body to be drifted, to be just taken downstream. Now it only happened about 10 seconds. He didn't go that far. But to me, it was like the Lord showing me he was really relinquishing himself to the Lord. Lord, like, take me where I need to go. And it was just a really cool ending to our trip. So that's all I have. You guys can come up and share at this point. Okay, babes.
Well, let me check the time. It says, what, 2 minutes after 12? So, I mean, after 11, and so at about 12 after, you guys tell me to shut up. But anyway, for me, this trip was really very refreshing. It was a very refreshing trip. And part of that is because I had no jobs. I just got to go along for the ride. But the Lord was good, and every day it's like he gave me some sort of an assignment. And the first day when the explosion started, there was a speaker. And, of course, I don't understand enough Spanish to know what's really being said. But he kept using the word Wi-Fi, Wi-Fi, Wi-Fi. And I assumed this has got to mean connection. Because I know that's what happens every time we go somewhere. We say, hey, what's the password for your Wi-Fi? So we can stay in connection. And anyway, there was this young woman sitting a couple of seats away from me. And she was weeping throughout the whole message. And then at the end, she just puts her face down on the ground. And she's just crying and crying and crying. So, of course, you know, okay, I think, Lord, this girl needs prayer. And, you know, there's no translators around. So I go over and I just put my hand on her and I start to pray for her. Well, guess what? She speaks English. And what was really wonderful is that's what the message was about, is not having a connection with the Lord. And that's the way she felt. And she shared a little bit about her story. And basically she felt like an orphan. In other words, sometimes the way you're treated as a child by your father, that's the kind of image you have of God, and that's what's in her case. But anyway, I prayed for her, and like I say, she could speak English, so that made it very easy to pray for her. And sure enough, I mean, the rest of the explosion, she was just full of joy. I mean, it's like she finally made the connection, and I was very grateful for that opportunity. And I don't know how many of the others wore their little bracelets, but you'll see that we all have these little bracelets. Now, this little bracelet kind of put us in a team, but I never know what that was all about. I never figured that one out. But it did give you a pass to the bathroom. a free pass plus toilet paper. Now, I didn't know about the toilet paper when I first went in, but then somebody, Robin, maybe told me, yeah, you could get toilet paper too. That was free too. So, because I was thinking, oh, I should have brought my roll of toilet paper. Because when you travel, like in Mexico or the Philippines, good idea to carry your roll of toilet paper with you. But, and then I'm thinking about the night that Paul said we served in a panel, and they had all these hard questions. By the way, the question that was the most asked, because they separated them up on the side before we started to, before they were given to us, was pornography. This was the most people were asking about, was pornography, how to break from it. But anyway, at the end, as Paul said, there was ministry time. And once this time I noticed that, you know, people are going to pray, and I don't get involved with this because you need a translator to really pray seriously with these people. And the prayer time comes to the end, but I noticed there was this one young woman, nobody ever went to her, and she was weeping, weeping, weeping. So Joy came with me, and, well, actually somebody else came with me, but they grabbed Joy, and that made it easier because Joy can understand my English. And we prayed for her, and she really was in need of, not deliverance, but in need of knowing she was forgiven. You know, she had committed some sins before she was saved, but then she repeated some of these sins after she was saved, and this is what she was really weeping about. Well, you know, it's like she just felt really, And that was not one of the questions that was asked. So anyway, we prayed for her, and I was grateful to have that opportunity. And another thing that same night, another young woman came to speak to me, because one of the things that had been asked on the panel was, what about getting married to an unbeliever? And she was engaged to an unbeliever, and I'm very strong about this, okay? I don't know where your theology is. Who was it talking about all the different theology? Okay. But I really prefer that men teach men. And so in her case, her church, people in her church, she brought him to church, and he decided to get, and he's right now currently in a class for learning how to be baptized, or what it means to be baptized, which to me is a different kind of presentation of the baptism. But nonetheless, the people in her church were encouraging her to teach him the things about the Lord. And I had met a couple years ago, and I met them as having been married 25 years or something like this. And this man was quite the man of God, and his sharings and speaking were just spot on. And his wife just seemed like an ordinary lady, okay? Well, afterwards, I get to know them, and I discover that he got saved kind of like off the streets in a church where her father was the pastor. And he walks into that church, and he sees her, and he decides that's going to be his wife. And she felt led to marry him, okay? And sure enough, he was a brand new believer, and he had all kind of questions, and she wouldn't answer them. She said, "You've got the Holy Spirit, you've got the Bible, and you've got other men." And she refused to teach him. And he really, what I could see, surpassed her by miles, you know? So that's what I shared with this young woman. And the neat little piece about this is that before I went, I had purchased the book of John, but it was like a study of the book of John. It had the book of John there, but it had commentary with it. And, like, okay, somebody's going to get saved and I'll pass it on to them. But the Lord showed me that this book was meant for her, this young man. But then I didn't have it with me, and the next day I'm looking everywhere for her. And I was just like, Lord, it's going to take a miracle for me to find her. And fortunately, Joy could remember, she had dinosaurs on her shirt. I'm looking everywhere for dinosaurs. I'd never find them. But Joy, thank God, did. So I was able to give her the book. And anyway, really it was a great trip as far as I was concerned. Every day there was an adventure, and I just really felt really refreshed. And I knew it was God, because he knew what was waiting for me when I got home. But we won't go into that story. I'll turn it over to whoever's going to share next.
Hello, everybody. My name is Judah. Judah Kellerhaus. I'm the son of Amy and Bill Kellerhaus. Some of you may know them. I go to Adat Chaim Messianic Synagogue. Thank you guys allow us to be here on Saturdays. And thank you very much on behalf of everybody and myself. So I had the great opportunity to go with the Brennans. They invited me on this trip. And there was a lot that happened there. I gave my testimony yesterday, actually, about everything that went on. And really, my testimony is personal. It's about what God was doing in me. And I felt called to go on this trip from the very beginning when I heard about it. And I thought God confirmed it to me that I should go. And and then I didn't know why I was going, and I was, wondering God about why I was going, but just wondering. And the day before I left, God gave me a scripture. Well, he didn't give it to me. I read it, and I was like, oh, that's exactly why I'm going. And so, let's see here. It's from Psalm 57, I believe. And if it's not Psalm 57, I'll just have to paraphrase. It says in Psalm 57, verse 9, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. And I knew that this was my purpose in going, and maybe even my purpose for my life. And throughout the time there, they just kept on being confirmed. So there was a song that we always sang that says, make in me your house of worship, basically. I think coming from the scripture that's on that banner over there. And I believe that the Brennans even have something. I don't know if you're going to... Have you shown it yet? Okay. They have something related to that. And so this is kind of one of the themes of the event. And I knew that it was just confirming the scripture that God had given to me before I left. So that was one thing. And then the other thing is, so I was able to participate in the house of worship that they had. And that was great. One of the young men in one of the breakout groups that I'd gone to encouraged me to just take advantage of the time being there and to seek God and seek to be closer with him while I was there in the time that I had. And so I decided to go to the house of worship. And it's funny because I'd gone to the... Now, I don't know how many minutes I have. I'm taking a lot of time. but So the house of worship. I went to the house of worship, and originally Danny, who, I don't know if you all know who Danny is, but Danny Ibarria asked me. He said, "So do you want to go there to serve, or to receive, or to serve?" And I said, "Well, I don't know why." At the time, I said, "I don't know why I'm going, so I guess I should be open to all of it." And so I said, I'll serve. And a lot of the time, in a lot of my free time, I was actually, you know, prepping food and doing this and doing the other thing. And but another service that I was open to was participating in this house of worship. Unfortunately, they never scheduled me in, which wasn't very unfortunate in the end. And so I participated in it. I went to it. I started worshiping, and then I saw nobody was drumming. And I asked the person who was in charge there. I said, "Am I allowed to participate in this and play?" And she said, "Yeah, of course." And so I ended up staying there for a number of hours, and I had no idea that you filmed me. I will want that video. but it was just the most freeing time for me there. Really, my testimony is that it was freeing for me, and also to be a part of all of it. I mean, there was one point where Ricky, Danny's brother, made a call for people to come up who were struggling with thoughts of suicide and thoughts of death. And there were, I would say, maybe you can confirm this, maybe about 20 to 30 people got up and received prayer. And I just felt even before that the word for the time there was freedom. And I didn't go up and say it immediately. I waited a day, and then finally I thought that I was still bothered by the fact that I hadn't said anything about the word I thought God gave me, and I decided to go up worried about how I would come across and about my Spanish and all that stuff. But I gave the word, and God gave me more than just the thing that I had initially in mind to say. And it was just really great to be part of it. And the other part of my testimony is that I felt out of place, you know, when you're, you know, we were a few white people among many Mexicans, and for me, it was difficult, you know, being, I do speak Spanish. I'm not a native speaker, but I do speak Spanish, and, you know, I wanted to be part of it, and I didn't feel like I was part of it all because I'm this, white person going in there. And, Yeah, of course, I felt, you know, the connection. We're all believers, brothers in Christ. But there was still some sort of, like, feeling out of place. And I think God, at one point, really... It was at the point that I got up and got the word and gave the word that I was at a place where I was feeling free, and there was something that was mentioned there that brought me to that, which is the scripture about in love there being no fear. There's no fear in love, and I kind of thought, well, I'm very fearful right now, Lord, and I think He just allowed me to really fully worship Him in that environment and not care about whatever other people thought of me, or you know, not cared, not had them in mind when I was worshiping, and so that was nice. And one of the biggest things that I came out with is from a testimony of a pastor in one of the breakout groups. If I can quickly summarize his testimony, it was basically God allowed him, caused him really to go through an experience. Where he broke a huge number of bones in his body. He lost his leg in an accident. An air tank blew up. And God told him, actually, he had clocked out from work, and God told him to go back. And at that point, the air tank blew up. He was sent flying 20 meters into a building, crashed through the building. I don't know if it was a window or a wall, but he crashed through and broke a lot of bones. And his testimony in the end is that that in the process of, in that whole process, in God breaking his body, he healed his heart. And he you know, his testimony is that he doesn't hold anything against God. And he thanks him for that. He thanks him for all that stuff that God brought him through. He's a very, you know, he's a wonderful person. And, you know, I have a similar testimony, not similar, but, in a way I can empathize with what he went through, because I broke my wrist, on June 27th, 2017. And, it took 9 months for my bones to heal. I broke 3 bones, scaphoid, which is the one that didn't really heal, the triquetrum, and another, I think it's called the lunate bone. And anyways, it took a long time, and I thanked God in the beginning. And I just knew it was a break from life. And he healed my heart. He really did. That's what I felt the whole time I was going through, struggling with idolatry in my heart. And God brought me through that. So... that was neither here nor there, not part of the event, but that was my personal connection with it. And there's a lot more to say. It was just so amazing to see. By the way, this, I don't know if you know, this event, there was no charge for the event for coming in. And there were 800 people that came, at least, right? At least 800. And all their murals were provided for. It was a lot. It was amazing. The testimony of the people there who ran it is, they were like, I don't know how this was possible monetarily. So anyways, God did something really good in me and I think in a lot of other people.
Hi, Victor. It's good to see you. I didn't get to say hi beforehand. So one thing that definitely happened on this trip is that I kind of knew it going in, that it was not going to be a time when we would have translators for us a lot, because all the people who could translate for us were busy running everywhere and doing everything. So we had, Wayne and I and everybody else, we had a lot of times when we were just sitting through big, long, you know, long meetings and, you know, and workshops and things that maybe we didn't know everything that was going on at all, but we were just praying and we were kind of, you know, sensing the, you know, that the Spirit was moving, and as Vera was sharing and stuff. So So I guess the things that really meant the most to me from this trip is I've been on a lot of, over the years, I've been to a lot of different functions that this group, De Hoven a Hoven, has done, a lot of different things. And as it always happens when there's large groups of young people together and stuff, there's always problems that arise. There's always difficulties, you know, that you have to deal with and with a lot of people in one location. But what I found on this trip from the day one was I just felt such a sense of peace that was over the whole event. And it was that true for the whole event. I mean, it was just beautiful. It was, for me, it was palpable. So I was really grateful for that. And I felt like that was an answer to a lot of prayers. And so then the other thing that was really great is that we got to spend, you know, for me personally, and I think for all of us personally, and for us as a couple, we got to just spend some quality time with individuals that we have connected with, you know, in recent years and stuff, and just follow up on what's going on in their life and pray for them and counsel them and stuff like that. So that was a beautiful thing. I really appreciated that time in a way because I couldn't understand the big meetings a lot, except, of course, we could worship with them and stuff. It was great to just have that personal connection with people that needed it. And another thing that was just amazing to me was the worship and the dancers. I'm so glad you had that video, Paul, because I have videos I posted on Facebook too. I did that specifically for ladies who work with dance here with the girls because I just thought it was beautiful, some of the things they were doing. I also wanted to just share that it was such a blessing for me to do that workshop on, everybody's been asking me about it, so I'm going to just say that the workshop that I did on abortion and all that whole topic was went super well, and I was joy translated for me, and so it was great. And Jessica, I just so appreciate the word that you had for me that Sunday before we left, because I couldn't remember all of it, and we didn't get a chance to listen to it at any time during, but the thing I remembered most was that I think, if I remember it correctly, that God said, He's got this, and that I didn't need to worry about what I was going to say or anything like that. And you know what? I didn't. I didn't even plan what I was going to say, because it is a ministry I'm involved with every day, so I know that God can take it, and I can talk about it, and it's not a problem. But they did sort of a sneaky little thing with those last workshops. They called them, people signed up for them the night before, and they had no idea what they were signing up for because they were just named food names. So my workshop was ice cream and French fries. And another one was pizza, and another one was, you know, so there were like five workshops maybe, and they were all named a different food. So, of course, everybody loves ice cream and French fries. So my workshop, I would say, had about 100 people in it. And they were, I was a little concerned at the beginning, but I thought, no, you know, in the culture, the way it's going, it's okay. And a lot of parents are here and pastors. But there were like some, I would say, 10 to 12-year-old boys and girls in the class. There were teens, there were young adults, there were pastors, there were adults. So it was quite a mixed group. And I just really felt like God directed me in everything that I shared. And I even wasn't sure how to start it, you know, because, and then all of a sudden at the last second, the Lord just gave me, you know, well, it's called, you know, ice cream and French fries. So I just said, I bet all of you are here because you love ice cream and French fries. And they went, yeah, yeah. And I said, I do too. I love ice cream. I said, I like French fries, but I really love ice cream. And I talked about the ice cream growing up as a family and going out for ice cream. And then with our children going out for ice cream, that they're fun family memories in my life. And then I just said, so I'm here to talk about life. And it was just like God just put that all together and just throughout, he just organized it in such a way. I was telling a client story, and in the middle of it, I lost my train of thought, but God gave me something else. So I spoke that first in the middle of it, and then I was able to come back to the story and end the story, and it was so much more powerful. Powerful if I had just continued the story from start to finish. So God, you know, even used my loss of my train of thought for a minute, you know. So I'm just really grateful for everything that he did and for the joy of the whole event and to see, you know, how the churches that we're working with are doing and stuff like that. So thanks for everything.
I just want you to know, Dan, that I'm the closer again. Okay, yeah. All right. You know, in baseball, you know, you remember baseball? The closer comes in and finishes the game. Okay. Well, I wanted to just give you a little, try to give you a little perspective. I guess it's my perspective, but you're going to get it. This was the 10th event, 10th year that they have done the Explosion de Amor. And when they started, they were really ragtag, you know, and they had maybe, you know, 150 people there, and they had a lot of problems. But God was with them. And then over the years, you know, Paul and I think, went to the third one, and then we were there at the fifth one, maybe the eighth. Yeah, the eighth one, and now here we're at the 10th one. So we've been in this event quite a few different times. But what I wanted to tell you is that this group is interesting. It's interesting because they started off in a college setting, just around different Christians getting together to talk about life and talk about God, and they began to pray together, and then God started to direct them, do this, and what about this? And so this group of young people came out of different churches to form this group that God has led them, and in the process, they have done a lot of amazing things for Mexico. And they are an example of something that we need to fully comprehend. But what I wanted to say is that over these 10 years, what has happened in Mexico through this group is that there's been unity brought to mainly the state of Nayarit, with all the churches, with one event that they've done, which is not this event they called 2020, where they'd spend 10 days out on the road, going to 10 different provinces around the area, and working with all the churches that would work with them. And they were accepted and came across to many different churches as a group that they wanted to work with, and that was encouraging them to move ahead in the Lord. And they brought unity to the churches that were never there before. Just like here in the United States, do we really have a lot of unity across our state with a bunch of churches? Not really. But they also did some other events that caused people to gather, and they did events that like the mountain trips that Tim and I were on one, and I was been on several others, and this is more like a discipleship trip where they had maybe 50 or 60 young people there, and they taught them about how to hear from the Holy Spirit and how to be led by the Spirit and how to do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. And so they began to teach and to preach a bunch of things that Paul and I and you guys have had a lot of input in. They began to teach on what the kingdom of God is all about and how the body needs to function as the body, and how the church is not made up of just a couple leaders doing all the work, but it's the people following through with what God directs them to do. And they have done that. Through all of their events and through the and acting in the churches that they go to. And so what we have seen is that these 10 years has been like a phenomenon that the expression in this last explosion de amor has been this place of peace. I talked with several couples on this event that we mentioned some things that, well, explosion de amor is probably, I mean, is De Hoven, which is the name of the group, is changing. We don't know where they're going, but there's different purpose there. And we're not sure they're going to maybe do the mountain trip this week. And that freaked this couple out because they were saying, we just connected with them last year, and it's the first time we felt a part of the body. And the woman said, yeah, the Lord showed me that I had a gift of prophecy, and I don't know how to give it, how to work it in the church that I'm in, because I don't know how they'll accept it. And so they were understandably concerned that they would have more teaching, that they would have more time with this group. And so I got to explain to them why they were feeling the way they were feeling in this camp. It's because everyone was allowed to function as a body. And the worship that was free to express yourself in dance and in art and in the arts and in the words of prophecy and encouragements and all the things the Bible tells us that are the gifts of the Spirit. They, for the first time, decided in this trip, in this one, in the worship, to leave some time between the worship songs. Normally down there, they just go from one song to another and it flows right through and there's no time for God to move in other ways. And yet they realized when Danny and Ricky were here during the prophetic conference that something they brought back with them is that we need to start to give God time. We give the people time to begin to bring the words that God gives them. There wasn't a lot of that there, and it was difficult to come there because of the size of the group. But there's something happening. There's a move of God that's going on that the young people there through this group are beginning to understand and bring back to their churches. So I know that God is bringing a new purpose for them because He's brought them through, like they've been there for 10 years doing what they're doing. And for me, it's like they've been the pioneers going out in Mexico, bringing the gospel of the kingdom forth as pioneers. And you know what happens to pioneers? They take the arrows, don't they? And this group has taken a lot of arrows, and to be honest, sometimes they're young people and they didn't always act the way that perfectly mature person should act, because they're young people, and yet they're willing to go and be the pioneer and fight the battle and go forward. So I want to tell you about the last conference. They call them conferences, the times when everybody's together and they have a speaker. Well, in the last one, the group themselves did the conference. And the first thing that they did is they went through their history, all the good that God led them to do. And it was part of the history that the gallery that they talked about was there. I went through it with somebody that read everything to me on all the 10 years that they went through. And as I listened to it, I realized that it was not glorifying De Hoven. It was glorifying God. And I saw the things that God was teaching them through the 10 years. And I walked back to Paul and say, you know, I can see our influence. with this group over these years, and yet our names are not written. No mention of Kingston or anything like that. It was all about God. And so I was delighted in that we did a good job, that we did not glorify ourselves in the middle of what God was doing, but God is doing a work there. So they told about their history, and then they told about what God was bringing them to. And the three things that they said was God was expanding in their what they needed to be centered on is one was friendship, two was family, and three was the church. And they were presenting that to everyone that was there to say, this is where we feel God is giving us vision for now. If you want to come along, great. But these are it. And I was sitting back there realizing that when Robin and I were down there in February, what did we talk about? We talked about friendship. We talked about the church needs to be a family. And we were talking about how church structure, how what church government looks like so the body can function. And this is what they had on their mind, what God had on their mind to go forward with. But as the pioneers go out and take the arrows and there's issues and pushing back the envelope and issues come up and things happen, what did they do next? But they stood up. And they apologized. They asked forgiveness of everyone there that they have offended. And they began to cry. First Danny, then Ricky, and then this very large, lovely man called Moe got up and he told a story. He told a story about that he loved to make up names for people. Somebody with had a lot of acne on their face and different things, and he would make up a name for them. And it was a very unique name, very funny. And so he told a couple different people. One was fat and one had acne, and they would love to make up names. And then he said, but if you were the one that was fat or had the acne, how would you feel if you were being called that name? And he repented for it. But then he told a story about Jesus and the woman from who was not an Israelite that came and asked Jesus for a miracle. And Jesus said, What is it for me to give food to a dog? And he said, how would you feel? Be called a dog. Would you be offended? But this woman was not offended. And she said, well, even the dogs received the crumbs from the master table. And she received the healing from the Lord. And he talked about if you're not offended, how you will receive from the Lord what God has for you. But then he said, anyone that has been offended, please come forward. And there was probably 15 or 20 people that came forward. And everybody on the team went down that group and asked forgiveness. There was one that I even had to go up and ask forgiveness for. See? Two years ago, they had this conference. And the name of that one, or the principle of that one, was humility. And I tell you that I don't know any other group that has demonstrated humility more than these young people have. Can you think of any that have publicly gone out and not made it just a show, but it was true in their hearts? and they humbled themselves, showing the kingdom to all that were there, how we all need to behave. So I was overwhelmed. I was impressed. I was amazed to see the glory of the Lord being expressed in the principles of the kingdom. And we have had a part in that. Big or small, it doesn't matter. But we've had a part in that to bring the glory of God that's being shown down in Mexico. And it's being shown in our hearts. And so, I want to end with this. Danny, with one of the last things he said to me was, thank the fountain. Thank them for the money that they have given, and thank them for the prayers that they have given. So I want to thank you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
At the end, all the prophetic art was being auctioned. And they did that to raise more funds to pay. But someone else just came in and said, oh, can we put this into the auction? And so our team bought this for Fountain of Life. It's actually three-dimensional. And it says, my house shall be a house of prayer for all nations. And that's the prophetic word that the Lord had given us many, many years ago. And so this is our gift to our body here, okay? So at some point we'll hang it up somewhere. And I'll leave it up here so you guys take a look at it.
Hello. Well, this is really short, but I had this. I don't like to say a vision because that sounds puffed up. I had this picture when he was saying that we didn't contribute a lot and they didn't mention us and they didn't say the Kingston and the money and all that stuff. But I had this picture that they were all marching through the countryside on this long road. And the thing that we were doing was along the way, it was dark, and along the way, we had lights so they could see where they're going. But they were doing it. We were just, so that's my picture.